Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
October 24th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, Steve Simon talks about heroines and heroes. That's right, I've got a really special treat for you today. I'll be interviewing a photographer who has come up through the ranks over the years. He's a photojournalist. He's worked for countless newspapers and magazines. He has a great eye. He has a very compassionate heart, and he's just finished a project that he shot in Africa over the course of 5 weeks, documenting the AIDS impact on the population. And the book that will be out in December is called Heroines and Heroes, and Steve talks about travel to Africa, talks about shooting on location, talks about the impact of AIDS, and even talks about some fun camera technique and what his favorite lens is. And one of my favorite parts of the conversation is when Steve and I talk about how often you should look at the LCD monitor while you're in the middle of the shoot. So it's a great conversation. So let's sit down with Steve. We'll chat a little bit. And then after the interview, we'll come back and take care of some virtual camera club business. But for now, here's Steve Simon. So here I am in San Francisco, and I have the great opportunity to talk with a photographer whose work I really like a lot. His name is Steve Simon, and Steve has been just finished a big project and has had a book come out, and I thought this would be a great opportunity for us to talk a little bit about the before, the during, and the after of this project. So welcome aboard, Steve. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Derek. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So let's just start out real quickly. Tell me a little bit about this project, the Heroines and Heroes project that you worked on, how the idea came to you, and how it actually turned into a real thing.
Well, sure. When I first went to Africa in 2002, and it was with a group of photographers on assignment for an NGO to Zambia, and we were there for a week to document the AIDS situation in Zambia. And, frankly, I'd never been to Africa before. It kind of scared me. But part of my philosophy these past few years when it comes to my photography is to kind of embrace opportunities when they arise. So I knew that I was going to go, and I did. And frankly, it was only a week of shooting, but it was a powerful week in terms of what I saw and encountered there. And I saw poverty like I had never seen before, and I saw what AIDS, the scourge of AIDS, was doing to the population there, and it was unprecedented in terms of what I had seen. But I had also had wonderful encounters with the people there. The people were very generous, very strong and determined, and I just knew that week would not be the only time that I would travel to Africa.
So whenever any of us as photographers work on a project like this, at some point, it sort of comes together in our head, this is what I'm trying to convey, or this is the theme that's going to run through my pictures, or something like that. So as we look at this body of work that you have, what is it that is sort of the thread that runs through your shots, and when did it occur to you?
Well, it's a rare situation, I think, for photographers to have an opportunity to have a book published and to go on a photo shoot knowing that the book will be published. And I had a foundation of material from my previous trips, but I also knew that this book was going to be published. It was going to be published quickly. And my thinking and my perspective in photographing in Africa was, I didn't want to ignore the harsh reality of what the scourge of AIDS was doing to the people and the country as a whole. So I wanted to I didn't want to avoid the harsh reality, but I also wanted to show some of the positive things and some of the everyday life that goes on. And in putting together the book, that's kind of the way I wanted it to take you through the country and see, it's a beautiful place. And yet, you know, in almost every area of society, AIDS is omnipresent. It's always there. And that was kind of the goal. I think shooting it in color was something of a conscious decision to connect a little bit easier with an outside of Africa audience, with a Western audience. I had seen some of the books that had been produced on the AIDS situation in Africa in the past, and I wanted to kind of move it forward as I added my voice to this particular subject.
So as I looked at some of the images, some of them are very touching, and not in the way that we would often expect when the subject is AIDS, but in a very human way. There's one shot, as I recall, where it seems like there's a bunch of students, and they have looks like they're having sex education drawings on the chalkboard back there, and you can tell they're all kind of blushing a little bit and a little bit. And there's another one where they're all holding up condoms, you know, and again, you can feel that sort of child uncomfortableness with the subject, but yet at the same time, you know, this is very important stuff. How did you get into those situations? Did you conceive of those shots, or did they just happen? How did that all come about?
Well, I mean, the first thing I really wanted to say was, you know, my experience in Africa more than ever made me realize that, you know, the people that I was encountering were really, you know, just like me. They reminded me of myself, my friends, my family, but for the lack of opportunity and the utter poverty. And the reactions that you would expect in a sex education class in Africa would be exactly the same kind of situation, the embarrassment you would get in any place, really anywhere in the world. So I knew that there were certain areas that were extremely important in terms of the AIDS issue. And, of course, education is one of the most important things that is being addressed to help, you know, fight the AIDS pandemic. So, of course, you know, I sought out to see what was going on, and when I was able to find out some people that were going around and helping to educate the young people on AIDS, that was something I needed to cover. And that was really the way I would look at it. Going back to a place like Africa, knowing you're going to do a book, knowing what you've got already, I kind of had an idea of some of the holes that I wanted to fill. But I also, as a photographer, I wanted to keep the serendipity and not necessarily have a laundry list of what I was going back for. I really wanted to just feel my way through to a certain extent in a guided kind of way, and that's the approach I took.
Yeah, what I liked about it, to me, there was sort of this message there that kids are kids no matter where in the world we are. Adults are adults. But, you know, sometimes their environment or their situation is different than what maybe you or I are going through. And when I looked at a lot of your shots, I go, you know what, these could be kids in the school that are right down the street from me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and there's one picture in the book. There's a young man riding a horse, and it's a beautiful landscape. It could be anywhere in the western United States. And I look at that picture, and it looks like he's, you know, riding into freedom, and it's you can escape. But the one thing that I felt in my experience in Africa was, I mean, I was there for a limited period of time, and I could leave, but the people there, there was no escape. There's some images in the book focusing on some of the religious things that go on in Africa, and I felt, you know, that was one area where, you know, as difficult as life was, when I went to some of the religious services, I saw that that was an escape, and I really saw that as kind of a positive thing, regardless of your feelings about it. It was for an afternoon or for a moment, a chance to just kind of escape the very harsh reality of what people are dealing with. So,
and I think that really came through. So let's talk a little bit about gear and how do you get ready for a trip like this? I mean, you know, almost everyone that is part of the show loves photography and takes photography seriously. And so it's always interesting to all of us, including me, how do you get ready for a shoot like this? How do you prepare? What gear did you take? And, you know, what things did you forget? Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the equipment side of the deal.
Well, you know, since you know, I use an SLR camera. I've got a 12 megapixel camera. I don't know if I can tell you which one.
No.
I have a Nikon D2X, and you know, since getting that camera, I have to admit that you know, digital. I've embraced digital these past few years, but getting the D2X and the 12 megapixel files that it provides, really, I felt that's where I needed to be. You know, that was kind of the minimum quality that would make me happy, because I could come back, I can put on an exhibition, I can make beautiful large prints, I can do the book. The quality is really nice, and so there was no looking back. So that was the camera that I used. I had a D70 as a backup camera, but I literally never took it out. I use 17-55 wide-angle lens. In my old days when I was a newspaper photographer, of course, I'd use a lot of telephoto lenses. But in recent years, I've made the conscious decision to shoot wide and be right there. And I feel I'm sure you'd agree, there's an intimacy when you're shooting with a wider lens that you're just not going to get by standing back with the telephoto lens. And I realized that there are going to be certain pictures that I wouldn't be able to get because I didn't have the telephoto, but I was okay with that. I wanted to be there and connecting with my subject matter.
Yeah, I agree. I think that for this sort of subject, that shooting wide, you can literally feel the heat while you're there. And I think there's a certain authenticity that shows in the photos, because you are actually a part of the story. You are immersed in it, and you're not just standing back sort of being a voyeur to it. Now, I'm not against using long lenses either, because I think sometimes, you know, they're really terrific. But I think for this project, where you're really trying to show the humanity of your subjects, I think the wide angle lens felt like a really good choice to me.
And the other thing too is, I mean, obviously with a wide angle lens, you know, in some situations, and there were situations where I had gone to funerals and in very private and intimate moments, it's difficult to be working so close in those kinds of situations. But I think, you know, in every situation I went to, I was welcomed. I mean, I would explain to the people why I was there, and with their permission, I was a part of whatever it was that I was photographing. And I felt that was really the only way to look at this subject, you know, with the blessings of the people. And I think, you know, they understood that, you know, I was adding my voice to bring to the world what it is that's going on there, and that it might have a positive outcome. So that was.
So you're a veteran photographer. You came up through the film days. You spent a lot of time in the dark room. So, you know, with your Nikon, and now that we have all the luxuries of digital photography, do you put things on program and, you know, an auto white balance and shoot in RAW? Are you using aperture priority? Tell me a little bit about, you know, your actual approach to, you know, when you're shooting on location like this.
Well, I think, you know, in the old days, I mean, with when I was shooting film, I would often work on manual, of course, manual focus. But I kind of realized, even before I gave up my film, with the exposure, the automatic exposure, be it the matrix metering that is happening today, it was much better than I could really do. I finally relented and trusted the automation, because it worked. It worked quicker and faster and more often than I would. So that works for me. Of course, I shoot RAW. I shoot RAW for anything that I feel is my personal work and something that I'm going to want to have that digital negative to archive. And I brought with me a 250 gig drive that I would download to. And I got to tell you, I used it all up in the 5 weeks. I did a lot of shooting. I really find that I've been somewhat reborn and invigorated with digital, because it allows me to take chances that I may not have taken in the film days. And in a way, I feel like I'm starting over, and I'm kind of refreshed and really excited about, you know, the digital. It's a great time to be a photographer, frankly, I think, for all of us these days.
Yeah, it's so funny. I feel the same way about, you know, some of the innovations. I remember when dedicated flash hit the scene, and I had been doing, you know, sort of manual flash calculations for years, and I was going, there's just no way that this can work. There's just no way that once I click the shutter, that the flash will go, it'll bounce back, and then the camera will tell the flash when to cut off at the precise moment. There's just no way that can work. But the fact of the matter is, it does work. And once I just let it work, then I could start thinking more about composition and things like that. And I think that is nice, and to be able to think about the art side of it and not worry so much about every darn little detail.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, in my old newspaper days, I mean, we had some very talented action photographers who manually focused, and you were always impressed with what they would come back. And when they went to autofocus, you knew that the technology was there. But at the same time, I mean, those guys using autofocus would still come back with, better pictures than many. And though so many people are out there taking really very technically fantastic pictures, I agree with you. I think that the freedom from worrying so much about the technical and having the experience still, comes in handy in difficult situations. But it really does free you to allow you to concentrate on what it is that you're trying to say through your photography, what it is that you really want to communicate to your viewers of your work. So again, I think it's a fantastic time, and I think that photographers at whatever level are benefiting from it. But there's no substitute for the serious photographer that goes out and takes the craft very seriously. Even though many people can get great pictures, the ones that really stand out will continue to do so.
Did you have to take any special precautions in terms of, airports and air travel or even environmental conditions, while you're there, things like that? Were there any things that you learned the hard way or that you knew ahead of time?
Yeah. Well, because I was traveling in Africa, I was often, when I would travel by plane, it was often a very small plane. So, I didn't want my equipment to go in cargo, of course, for many reasons. Not only, you don't want it to get stolen, you don't want it to get broken. So I tried to pack as light as I could. I tried to have my camera case, my backpack case would fit in a small plane overhead compartment. Then I would have maybe a canvas bag in my luggage that I could, load for my daily shooting. The other thing that I really needed, because electricity was a bit of an unknown for me, and of course with digital we have to charge our batteries and we need it to plug into our computers. So I made sure I had spare batteries that I tried to charge whenever I was, sure to have electricity. As well, I had an Epson P4000, I think it is, so I could download. And that saved my butt a few times, because there were times when I couldn't get back to my computer to download and I had run out of compact flash cards, so I was able to download and continue to shoot. And I tend to shoot a lot.
When you shoot, do you check your viewfinder, the LCD monitor a lot, or are you one of you feel like you just want to be in the zone and then you look at stuff later on?
Yeah, I feel strongly about this, and now that I feel quite comfortable with digital, I really try not to be one of those photographers that's constantly looking in the back of the camera. I think it's a new way that we're shooting out there. And I think in a way, especially when you're in a situation where there's people around you and they're the ones you're photographing, I think it's almost rude to be, losing the contact from your situation and checking your camera. Of course, you want to make sure that, nothing catastrophic is happening with your exposures. But I really, really try and maintain that same kind of shooting style I had with film. And just shoot and feel my way and talk to the people and let them ignore me, of course, most of the time when I want to just capture what's going on. And I really try and do that. But I admit, of course, I'm going to be peeking from time to time.
Well, it's funny because this is something I've sort of grappled with myself. And where I am these days, when I do the first few frames, I like to take a look to make sure I'm not doing something stupid, because, no one wants to shoot for 2 hours in stupid mode. That's very embarrassing. And then, but after that, after I'm pretty comfortable that I'm not shooting stupid, then maybe a couple hours later, I'll check in and just to make sure that everything's going okay. But I found that I sort of lose the zone a little bit if I check the monitor too often.
Yeah. Yeah, I really believe, you know, after being in this business for so many years that I'm really trying to kind of, you know, react without thinking, just feel my way through. And with digital, I can, you know, shoot freely and not worry that I'm going to really run to the end of the roll of a film or it's costing me too much because I'm going to get all this stuff processed. So I'm really trying to kind of just react emotionally as a photographer and just move around and take chances. And that's part of the whole liberating factor I find with digital. Once you sort of stop looking at the back of the camera all the time, you can really, you know, sometimes find your way to a place that you couldn't have predicted any other way. And you know, it's a kind of a special moment. And as we know as photographers, those kinds of magic moments are few and far between.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to be looking at the back of your monitor when a magic moment's happening there in the real world. So I want to ask you a little bit about the book, but before I do, just real quickly, so what's your favorite lens to shoot with? You know, I am always curious about this.
Well, I got to say that for me, it's a bit of a no-brainer. I've been using the 17 to 55 millimeter lens. There was a time in the film days when I would have a variety of fixed lenses, and, you know, there was... you recall that, you know, people said zooms are just not quite as good as fixed lenses. But, you know, I cannot complain. I think the quality is tremendous now. And the idea that you've got one lens that really just kind of covers the range that I like because of the factor, the 1.6, I think it is. You know, the widest is, for that 17, I think, is about a 24. And my favorite lens from the film days was a 35 anyway. And I like the fact that it's not that wide because, you know, distortion is a little bit less. And it's my favorite lens, no question.
That's a great lens. So, okay, so now, you know, you have this project. You have it, you know, the image is in your computer. And now you need to make a book. Or you want to make a book. So do you have to jump through a lot of hoops or do you just sort of make sure that your monitor's calibrated and the pictures look good and then you send them off and you trust that, you know, it's going to look... How did that whole part of it work?
Well, you know, the thing was this book happened very quickly after I returned from Africa. So the most important thing for me on return was to get the proofs out, get all the good pictures out that I can see so I can see them all. I don't want to miss anything. I mean, a book is going to be around forever. So I wanted to make sure I could squeeze all the juice out of the orange, so to speak, to make sure that I wasn't missing anything. So I did an edit, and I did the edit. I've just got Aperture, so I've been using that. And I went to some people that I trusted to help me in choosing the images. And ultimately, you take responsibility for your work. So I put together, as best I could, this book in terms of the editing and the succession of images. And then I used Aperture with the book creative part of Aperture, which was fantastic because it allowed me to move things around fairly seamlessly. And I was able to build this book dummy very quickly to a point where I was really happy with the flow and I could change things without, you know, too much, without any hassle at all. So I was able to have a book dummy that I could provide the publisher. And in the end, because, you know, time was tight, I was actually on the road fixing up my files. And something that might be astonishing to many was that I didn't have a proof of every picture file that I was able to finesse to give to the publisher who was going to print it. Fortunately, this publisher, Carta, in Milan, does a lot of art books. And, you know, frankly, there was nothing else I could do. Time was out. I wasn't able to have proofs. And it's a bit of a leap of faith. And in the end, I'm very happy with the results. They did a fabulous job. There's a few images in the book that were taken in fairly low lights. And, you know, the detail was retained even in the darkest shadow. So maybe I feel a little bit lucky in that regard, but it really did work out fine.
Well, I think, you know, it comes back to it helps to have good capture, right? And then it helps to have a good printer. Yeah. And then, you know, then maybe a little bit of luck in between. Exactly. Well, great. So the book, again, is Heroines and Heroes. And this Hope, HIV, and Africa by Steve Simon. Where can people find out more about this project and more about the book?
Sure. Well, actually, it's officially going to be released on December 1st, 2006, which is World AIDS Day. So that's the day that we decided to officially come out with the book. There's going to be a book signing at Barnes & Noble in Chelsea in New York City on that day. And at my website, stevesimonphoto.com, you'll find out some information on it. And I believe you can find it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, both on the websites and hopefully in the stores. And I should mention that all the royalties from this book, and it's basically 6% of the cover price, are going to be donated to some of the groups in the call to action section. And the one thing that I really wanted to have happen was actually my girlfriend's insistence, and it made a lot of sense to me, was that at the back of the book, if you were inspired by what you saw, there's this call to action section, and there are ways for people to get involved. And it lists a lot of different groups divided by, if you're an educator and you want to teach in Africa, you have a way to start exploring that. If you're a medical professional, so this is all part of it. As a photographer, this particular project became a lot more than me as a photographer. It really became kind of a mission, and I'm hoping to go back to Africa to do more work on like this.
Well, it's a fabulous book to look at. There's tons of good information in there. And, if nothing else, go over to Steve's site and take a look at what's going on. It's one of those projects that works on all levels. Thanks so much for doing this interview, Steve. It's great to see you.
Hey, thanks very much, Derek. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
What a terrific guy and a truly talented photographer. Steve Simon, make sure you go over to his site and take a look. And also keep an eye peeled for his book, Heroines and Heroes, that will be out in December. Okay, now just a little bit of virtual camera club business. First thing I want to mention is this month's photo assignment. We're getting near the end of the month. It's reflection, and I really want you to push your creativity on this. Don't just settle for the easy shot. See if you can come up with something creative. We've been publishing very strong galleries lately, and I want to keep that trend going. So by the end of the month, get me your photo assignment. And if you have any questions at all about it, you can always go to the submissions page on thedigitalstory.com. Grab shots. Don't forget about those grab shots. And they can be about any subject that interests you. If you find a good shot, if you got one sitting there in your camera, load it on up, send it to me, and we'll try to get it on the site. So for now, I think it's time for you to go take some pictures. I'm going to grab my camera and head outside, and I'll see you back here next week on The Digital Story. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.